countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Now, it's been another crucial week with Brexit, with negotiations now at a stalemate yet again. The British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is due to meet European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen today in an attempt to break the deadlock. Once again, fishing is one of the main sticking points. And I'm joined now by marine journalist Lorna Siggins to bring us up to date. Lorna, good morning.
Good morning, Damien.
So what do we know about the pause talks, and do we think that the fisheries issue, that it will be solved? Is that the real sticking point as part of the whole internal markets bill?
Yes, well, Damien, BBC News was observing last night that moments of drama like this usually precede difficult compromises. At the start of the week, the gap was very wide, with the EU offering to hand back Britain 18% of fishing quotas in its waters, when Britain is actually looking for 80% back. And then there were reports in the middle of the week that Michel Barnier had offered a compromise of 60%. And France then confirmed yesterday that it would veto any deal if it was not satisfied with it, that it preferred a no deal to a bad deal. While Mr. Johnson was warned by Eurosceptic Tory MPs not to give any more ground. And it seems that both sides thought a deal was close on Thursday, with Britain allowing the EU to keep almost 50% of its current quotas at the beginning of a multi-year transitional period, after which Britain would then allocate quotas on an annual basis. However, the Daily Telegraph and other British press reported last night that at the last minute, the EU demanded total access to British waters for 10 years. And it's also reverted to its original offer of giving back just 18% of the fish quotas to Britain.
Yeah, it remains a complex issue, but tough for the fishermen and coastal communities now left waiting, not knowing what's going to happen, Lorna.
Yeah, absolutely. And those I've spoken to around the coast in the past week, they're just really upset. They talk about 1983 all over again. That's 10 years after we joined the EU and the EU's common fisheries policy was introduced. And it's worth noting that Ireland was one of just two EU coastal states with a surplus of fish, as everyone else, including Britain, has been a major importer of fish. And we just haven't made very much of that incredibly strong hand we've had over the years.
OK, so as you said, you have been speaking to some fishermen in coastal communities. What have they been saying to you? What's at stake for them and their families?
Yes, I spoke to two fishermen in Kilmore Quay in County Wexford, where a prawn fleet stands to lose access to the Smalls Basin, which is about 30 miles to the southeast. And Will Bates, who's 43 and a father of three children, is a third generation fisherman. His granddad, Willie, also ran the ferry to the Salty Island seabird colony. And that family's of bargy stock, there being a blend of Irish, Norse, Flemish and Welsh. And that's a good reminder of how there really are no borders when it comes to maritime communities. And if this was a case of straight negotiations between these two islands, they might just have a fish deal sorted by now. Will had just returned from a scallop fishing trip off Cardigan Bay, and he described how he can spend up to 60% of his fishing time in British waters, mainly because he wouldn't have enough quota here, and how his fishing is the lifeblood of his village.
Actually, Kilmore Quay is a fishing village. Like, it solely depends on the boats going in and out. Everything in the village revolves around fishing. Like, two, three major fish factories down here, like processors. They'll process fish, scallops, and are sent all over the world. Like, so the fish factories alone are employing like hundreds of people, like, you know. Mainly everything in the villages revolves around the boats coming in and landing fish here to process and transport. It goes a long way, like, it goes much further than just the boat. Like, it goes back through the families. You see Lowestoft there in the east coast of England, like, once a thriving fishing harbour. At the moment, there's not one fishing boat there. It's gone. The whole place is decimated by the lack of quotas and stuff over there. Fishing vessels, and now it's only all you have in there is wind farm vessels. Like, if I was English, yeah, wouldn't it be great, like, to get all our waters back? Like, I suppose they have every nationality in the European Union fishing in their waters, probably some of the best waters in the world. Maybe they're right, maybe we should follow suit, and maybe we should leave the European Union, take back our own waters, and maybe start dealing with England, like, you know.
That's a controversial proposal there from Kilmore Quay skipper Will Bates. What about the EU, though, Lorna? I mean, this is an EU negotiation with the UK. It's not an Irish negotiation with the UK, as we know. But is Michel Barnier, is he perceived as being on our side in all of this?
Well, of course, Minister Coveney is very grateful to Mr. Barnier because, you know, for preventing a hard border with the withdrawal agreement and linking fish to trade all the time. But fishermen say that they note that he's a former fisheries minister. And the Irish Times had reported earlier this week how France was eyeing up the lion's share of a 5 billion euro compensation fund. And French President Emmanuel Macron is said to be leading the charge on access to waters on behalf of member states with no Atlantic fleet, including Germany. So preferring a no deal to a bad deal. And then French fishermen are part of this choreography, threatening to blockade ports. I spoke to Dr. Peter Tindall, formerly with Bord Uíschí Mhaire, the Sea Fisheries Board in Galway. And he was interested in what is not being mentioned in the last couple of weeks. For instance, he said that Ireland should be making a case for ensuring that whatever quotas have been held by Britain in these waters should revert back to us. And this would then compensate somewhat for the loss of an estimated 30% of the catch that we take from British waters. Another Kilmore Quay fisherman, Seamus Malloy, described Monsieur Barnier as being like a fox in charge of chickens, as Ireland is the only coastal state with the resource to compensate fish-hungry states like Spain, France, Belgium and, of course, Germany. And like Will Bates, Seamus has been fishing all his life. But Brexit, COVID-19, moves to designate inshore waters for wind farms are the latest reasons for making it a hard game to stay in or even to get a start in. And only the really determined survive, as Seamus explained to me in this next clip.
Fishing is not for everyone. I mean, we have brought fellas out and, you know, after one day that you'll never see them again. It's two different jobs. On the fine weather, it's all beautiful and all good. But when you get a bad day or a half bad day and you're trying to do the same job rolling around, people that stay at it are tough to say the least, and they're very skillful in what they do as well and very accomplished. And that's actually never seen, or it's just seen as you're a fisherman. I mean, I've seen a lot of good welders in my time, but I've seen very few good welders that can weld when the boat is pitching 30 or 40 degrees. That has the difference as well, is finding these good people and holding on to them and having a living for them and having a future for them. The lockdown has shown that it's more important. I mean, the quantity of the fish being sold has gone up, and we have so much of it in our waters, and people want it more and more. And we seem to be giving it up more and more. 10% of total EU waters are Irish territorial waters. When the UK is gone, that'll move to probably 15%. I mean, and the real sting in that tale is that the 12% probably provides closer to 30% of the fishable waters due to the Atlantic shelf, and a lot of the Spanish and Portuguese waters are unfishable. I mean, we only provide less than 4% of the gross tonnage of vessels fishing in these waters. There's a serious unfairness in it, and it just has to be addressed.
Yeah, you can hear the anguish there in Seamus Malloy from Kilmore Quay's voice. So finally, just listening to him there and listening to the fisherman earlier, Lorna, is there some admiration among other fishermen from other countries about the stance taken by their counterparts in the UK?
Yes, well, the fishing industry may be a tiny percentage of GDP in both countries, but there's a common frustration. There are those common links. There's a common frustration with a Brussels policy which has over the years allowed multinationals to buy out fleets of boats, particularly in Britain. And one fisherman once said that Brussels had designed a management policy for fish which treats the EU pond as if it was an aquarium plugged into a computer. So there's a level of frustration about lack of transparency and equity that many farmers, as fellow food providers, would understand.
All right. Very interesting. Lorna Siggins, thank you very much for giving us that update. Just before the ad break, referring back to our first item in relation to advice to potential dog owners, Kieran Ferry has tweeted, or Kieran Ferry, very important piece, but please encourage people who are thinking of buying a dog to adopt a dog instead. Good advice there.
countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.